controlling all of this is what we refer to as the hive mind. So this artificial intelligence system that controls everything. Once the stock comes in, from that exact point that it enters the system, the hive mind will track its every single movement. The hive mind will tell the bots exactly where they need to stop, but it is the bot's control system that allows it to follow a movement profile and stop exactly as the hive mind expects it to. There's just a 5 millimeter gap between bots, so that's both as they pass each other and if they stop next to a bot as well. This bot with the orange light may have experienced something within its sensors and all of those readings it's taking, that when it feeds that back to the hive mind, it's not quite what the hive mind was expecting. So it just brings it to a safe stop for investigation. We do have a number of grid operators that sit at the edge of the grid. And
the hive mind. The grid. What we're seeing here is going to be scaled up exponentially and will essentially assimilate the world as we know it. This is coming. And everyone should be aware that the reset, the replacement, isn't just about open borders. It's about eliminating humanity. The first phase was the plandemic, the vaccines. The next phase is hyperinflation. Remember that movie Office Space with the stapler guy, and they're like, how do we get rid of this guy? How do we get rid of these useless eaters? Well, we'll just cut their paychecks. We'll make it impossible for them to afford to live. And right now we're seeing endless videos of people that are just basically crying on the internet. They can't afford their rent. They can't afford their food. Even if you're getting a paycheck, it's not enough. For most people out there, this is only going to get worse as they promise that you're going to eat bugs. You have to think about the situation here. They're poisoning the food, the air, the water, spraying us like bugs, telling us we're going to eat bugs, surrounding us with death towers. And now they're coming for the jobs. They're going to replace just about every job out there. According to the reports, 80% of the jobs will be gone in less than 10 years. Driverless cars, AI doctors, AI lawyers, so on and so forth. If they can replace doctors and lawyers, they can replace anyone. And this process of replacing people through automation has already begun. Most people can't see it coming. Most people won't see it coming. They're too busy watching the television. They're too busy trying to put food on the table. They don't see what this system has in store for them. But the system is anti-human. And it isn't going to stop with replacing your jobs or automation. The idea is essentially to assimilate people and to turn whatever survives the inflation and the disease X and the like, to turn these people into robots. Like the Borg, essentially. You've seen the videos of Klaus Schwab, you're going to get your brain chip. You've seen the videos of Elon Musk, you're going to get your brain chip. They're going to be putting machines like this at the local mall. Kids after school, instead of getting piercings, they're going to get a brain chip. They're going to be part of the hive mind, the collective. The singularity. They're going to be transhuman. Robots, cyborgs, plugged into the system, looking at you like, what's for dinner? And so we won't just be dealing with robots. We'll be dealing with cyborgs, and they'll all be plugged into the hive. You think the virtue signaling is bad now? I mean, their plans are everywhere. National Geographic, Time Magazine, World Economic Forum, Twitter. Come get your Tesla, come get your brain chip. You might think this is some kind of joke, but the threat is very real. It's not just automation, it's assimilation that's waiting for mankind. Right now, they're mass producing robots. Everybody should be talking about this. They are mass producing robots right now, like new cars. They're even coming out with the driverless trucks, like the movie iRobot, to deliver these things wherever you go. Look at this. All of these movies, like The Matrix, Terminator, and the like, it's all predictive programming. Just like The Simpsons, in a way. They're telling us what's coming. But right now, they basically have planned this thing out. They're mass-producing robots to replace us. They're mass-producing robots to lock us down, just like the movie iRobot. They're mass-producing robots to prepare for what's coming next.
Transhumanism, folks. This is something that I've been talking about for the last 15 or 20 years, warning people of where we're going. And there's so many advances being made in transhumanism. And this is really what COVID and climate change and all of the things that we've seen in the last 4 or 5 years is really all about. It's about leading us into this AI-controlled control grid. Transhumanism, that's what it's all about. That's what the jab's about. That's what the chemtrails are about. All the nanotech they're putting in people, it's all leading to the same place. As you can see, I'm sitting inside today, folks. I've been trying to get this video done for the last 3 days, but it's been a little windy and been sort of rainy and cold, and there's been all sorts of things that have stopped me doing it. So I just thought, well, I'll just sit inside and do the video today. I went out there to do a walk and talk today in the same fig tree yard that I was doing one in the other day, and it was just too cold and windy. So here I am. I'll do a sit and talk today in the little cabin that I've been staying in, which is a great little cabin. This is a little self-contained place that I'm in, and I'm staying in a kind of an off-grid farm in Croatia. It's really cool, really nice people who flown me over to Croatia and are sort of putting on all these gigs and all this sort of stuff and these talks for me. It's been really good, really nice people, really nice place to be. A little cold and windy sometimes outside. That's Croatia. But yeah, really nice place that I'm in, and it's great to be here. I've done some great talks. We've had a couple of talks, a couple of interviews. Did a talk at Šibenik, which was really good. Did another one at Split. Split's quite an amazing place. There's a ancient palace there, like an old Roman palace, I think it is. Might even be pre-Roman, I don't know. Whether Roman even, you know, whether any of that's true, who knows, folks. I mean, history's a complete lie, we know that, so who knows what's true and what isn't. But it's an amazing place. There's some really great old architecture there. Really interestingly, something that I really liked was a kind of a map of the place that's down on the esplanade, like near the water. They've got this kind of bronze statue almost, just this table, and they've got a 3D map of the city there, which is pretty incredible. I love to see that sort of stuff. And it's a great place. We looked at some really ancient architecture. Went down, there's a tunnel as well from the palace down to where that map area is, which apparently was the tunnel that they used as the Dragon Cave in Game of Thrones, which is kind of interesting. So yeah, it's kind of a interesting area, folks. I highly recommend it if you ever come to Croatia to go and check out Split. It's a really nice place. Croatia itself is just a great country. And good people, all the people that I've met here have been great people. So yeah, it's interesting. But getting back to transhumanism, I mean, you've got to wonder how much this is in play already. Point in mind, there's been a whole bunch of stabbing attacks in Australia in the last week. Just a spate of stabbings, like right out of nowhere. What's that all about? There was a guy apparently rampaged through a shopping centre, killed 6 people and injured something like 15 others. Guy with a knife. Killed interesting people as well. There's one lady who was killed, a young lady called Dawn Singleton, John Singleton's daughter. John Singleton is a magnate in Australia. He's a very, very wealthy businessman.
6 people were murdered in the attack. 4 have been identified. New mother, Ash Good, architect, Jade Young, Dawn Singleton, daughter of businessman John Singleton, and security guard, Faraz Tahir. Another 12 people were wounded, including Ash's 9-month-old baby girl. The killer has been named as 40-year-old Joel Couchy. He was stopped by New South Wales Police Inspector Amy Scott. She ran towards Couchy and opened fire, ending his deadly rampage. Hers is just one story of remarkable bravery in an incident that's shaken the nation.
Hours before he murdered half a dozen innocent people inside a busy shopping centre, Joel Couchy ordered a chicken curry at this Bondi Junction cafe. He couldn't pay, but returned 2 hours later with cash for what would be his final meal, before he stumbled down the street and shortly after began a killing spree inside the busy Westfield.
Interestingly, when Dan Andrews apparently fell down the stairs a couple of years ago, you remember that, when Dan Andrews apparently hurt his back falling down the stairs, and there were rumours that he had actually been thrown down the stairs and kicked out of the house and beaten up because he had groped John Singleton's daughter. Now, this could well be the same girl, Dawn Singleton, who died in this knife attack in Bondi Junction the other day. Very, very strange, this knife attack. I mean, this guy, the guy that I've identified as doing it, a guy called Joel Couchy, is the guy that I've identified as the attacker. This guy had a history of mental illness. You'd have to wonder where he developed such good knife skills. And there's a lot of questions regarding this. I mean, apparently he was sort of seen stumbling around like he was on drugs or something. And the guy lives in Brisbane or Sunshine Coast or something. Like, he lives Toowoomba, Queensland. So what's he doing in Bondi Junction in Sydney to begin with? Apparently he'd been there living homeless in his car or whatever. I mean, what for? It's all very strange. There was first reports that came out that it was a Jewish guy called Benjamin Cohen. They kind of looked the same. And then the reports changed and said it's Joel Couchy who carried out the attacks. You've really got to wonder. I mean, Joel Couchy is this sort of mentally ill guy who has suddenly developed all these life skills. I mean, it's not unlike Martin Bryant with the Port Arthur massacre. This guy with an IQ of a 9-year-old with no gun experience at all is suddenly a crack shot at Port Arthur, killing more people than any other shooting, more accurate than any other shooting, with a shoot-to-kill ratio that Olympic shooters have said they'd be working hard to get. So you got to wonder what went on there, and you got to wonder what went on with this attack in Bondi Junction as well, whether it was really Joel Couchy or whether it was simply someone else and they used Joel Couchy as the patsy. You just don't know with these people, folks. And of course, straight on the back of it, we've seen legislation. Like, the very next day, they had, well, we've got to have more surveillance, we've got to have more security, we've got to have more stuff, we've drafted these new laws. I mean, they did that in 24 hours, or were they expecting this to happen? You really got to look at how all this is run. And then, of course, the day after, or within 2 days of that, there's another knife attack against an Assyrian priest, Christian priest, who has been a very outspoken advocate for freedom through the whole scamdemic. He was telling people not to get the jab, very anti-vax. Some of the stuff he was saying, I even had a video of him on the show maybe 2 years ago, before I left Australia, I think, I had a video of this guy, and he was very, very outspoken against the jab.
This vaccination, the way it's been implemented, it is the beginning of the mark of the beast in Revelation 13. It is the beginning. And let me say one thing. Mark of the beast is not just an injection. It is not just that. Mark of the beast is a governmental system. It is a pyramid, but that pyramid, instead of the head pointing upward, the head is pointing down. Because this pyramid, the head of it is pointing down. They are saying, we worship Satan, not God. This pyramid worships Satan, not God. So it is the beginning to this new world order, new government system, where everyone on a global level comes under this system. Where you cannot buy, you cannot sell, you cannot go, you cannot come, unless you are one of us. Very soon they will get rid of the currency, the paper money. Everything is going to be electronic. Everything is going to be a chip. I hold everyone responsible for every child that has shed tears, for everyone that has died because of this vaccination, for everyone that has been mistreated, and there should have been an alternate treatments where people should have been saved. And we see doctors speak on a global level. They say if the governments had allowed, and even the World Health Organization, and I say to the CEO of the World Health Organization, you need to resign immediately because looks like you've killed your conscience. Or you have been bought with money. Was it Bill Gates' money, my dear friend?
Yeah, and even more recently, he's been saying similar things.
Stop forcing people to take vaccination because of safety measures. Get a life. Your so-called PCR testing kits are a fraud. Your statistics are a fraud. The World Health Organization is a fraud. NIH, Anthony Fauci is the fraud. Is there anyone among you to be a man to stand up and speak the truth, even if it takes them to be kicked out? Is there? Are you all cowards? Has money blinded you?
So that was the guy's stance all the way through the scamdemic. And then suddenly this knife attack happens and he doesn't really get hurt. He doesn't really get injured in the attack. Like, the guy appeared to stab him a lot. But, I mean, this was a 16-year-old kid, and he must have been using a pocket knife or something, because apparently when he is stabbing the priest, the knife closes and chops off a few of his fingers. And you can actually see in the stabbing, he stops halfway through. Like, he just sort of stops and glances at his hand. Because, yeah, you've just cut a couple of your fingers off, you idiot. You're not stabbing with a blade, you're just kind of punching him with a knife in your hand and you've cut your own fingers off. Yes, strange stuff, folks. So the priest isn't really that hurt. I mean, he's got a few injuries, he's in hospital, and he issued a statement from his hospital bed, and now the stuff that I just played you that shows what his stance was against the vaccine and against the government, listen to what he's saying from his hospital bed.
To this young man, I say to you, you're my son, and you'll always be in my praise. May the Lord Jesus forgive you. May the Lord Jesus bless you and show you the way, my dear son. And once again, to our beloved faithfuls, we need to reflect Christ in our life. The Lord Jesus never said, go out and fight in the street. Never said to retaliate. but to pray. And this is what I'm asking everyone to do. Pray, my beloved, thank the Lord Jesus, and respect the law of this country, and also adhere to the directives from our beloved police force, from the commissioners, and to everyone else in this government. We need to be law-abiding citizens. God bless you all, and God willing, we will see you soon, and go back to our normal duties once again, serving the Lord from the heart. God bless. Take care.
That's kind of interesting, isn't it? That seems like a little bit of a backflip. Suddenly now you must trust the government and you must respect their laws. Very strange stuff. And again, this is causing more laws and more legislation. We need to tighten things up. And then on the back of that, like I think the next day or within 2 days again, there's a huge fight in a shopping mall. One guy with an axe and one guy with a machete.
A wild brawl inside a busy Melbourne shopping centre has raised new security fears just days after the Bondi massacre. This time it was teens armed with machetes and axes.
Charges have been laid. A 15-year-old and a 16-year-old are facing charges of affray and weapons offences. The food court was a battleground. When rival thugs faced off, one had an axe, the other a machete. A shocked witness says she was bumped into by the axe attacker.
Are you guys insane?
Frightened families were just metres away, forced to retreat from the danger.
Wonderful stuff, just what you need. Three knife attacks in 1 week in Sydney, right as they want to introduce new legislation. Yeah, I don't trust any of these people, folks. I really don't. And on the back of that machete attack, now they're saying they need to have new search and seizure powers. They need to be able to stop and search people's bags. You're going into a shopping centre, we need to stop and search you and see what you've got on you before we let you in. But of course, it's not a permanent thing. It's just 2 weeks, folks. 2 weeks to flatten the curve. 2 weeks to flatten the knife curve in this case. And you can be sure they'll find something on someone and they'll realise what a great idea this is and they'll probably want to keep it in place. This is just what they do. It's how they play it. I mean, remember COVID, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Here we are 4 years later living in an absolute dystopia and getting more and more dystopian as it goes on. And they're kind of morphing everything. They're morphing it all into one thing. Climate change, you know, vaccine status, COVID, the WEF, social crediting, they're all morphing it into one thing. That's one of the things they did with this whole scamdemic is they put all these new regulations in place to see if people would comply and also to get the framework in place for their surveillance system and their COVID thing and their climate thing and everything they want to do, get it all in place and iron out the bugs in a way that they can kind of do it and get away with it. And that's one of the reasons they did the whole COVID scam. But getting back to this knife attack in Sydney, it seems really strange that this guy would have done this, and you've got to wonder where he came from and the fact that he was stumbling around and blah blah blah. You know, I always think of the presentation by Dr. Charles Morgan at West Point in 2018, where they talked about human drones. They talked about the fact that they could control other people's motor functions. They could literally get into people and drive them around. They called it the possession experiment. And this wasn't conspiracy theory. This wasn't anybody saying some possibility of what they might be able to do. This was a professor, a doctor, giving a lecture to the heads of military at West Point saying this is what we can do. It's not open for speculation. It's not something they're trying to do. It's something they can do. And that was back in 2018.
Having one animal learn something and seeing and recording that activity and put it into the sensory cortex of the second animal, and that animal acquires the knowledge. From the human drone technology standpoint, you can attach the human brain to another human brain, you can direct motor activity, or you can send communication and information. Dr. Ventner's work is, my view, the equivalent of the development of nuclear weapons when you realize that he created life in a cell. He programmed yeast cells to produce anything he wanted. These can be inserted into you through the hypospray needles. You put in a specific gene slicing, You program what you like, you put it in the cell, and it can reproduce and make as much as you like. It sends a signal and tells which portion of the DNA should unwrap, unfold, and produce a product. Related to this is an idea called dreads. These are designer receptors that can be remotely controlled. You can create a cell, you can put it somewhere in the body, and you can remotely activate it. So you have the capacity to create any product. As long as you know the DNA sequence, you can insert it into a living system, and you can remotely control it. That may affect the way you think, the way you act. So once you know that the technology is there to edit, splice, and program a cell, and the technology currently exists to administer it to somebody and have it go park anywhere you program it to go park, proliferate, and do its function, you can have things activated in other people's brains. Just people have figured out how to hide imagery in the DNA of bacteria. You can have the information reproduced in a string form as a form of a protein. The new way to hide information is going to be in DNA. This is the first experiment showing what imagery you can hide in bacteria. This is the latest. It's a GIF file. Well, this is what the Chinese are doing with DNA. Merging DNA systems with quantum computing will be really quite an amazing and both lethal threat. The next thing I wanted to mention to you is memory. Can we erase memory? Can we modify memory? Can we change memory? The short answer is yes.
Yeah, so when you look at all that, and that goes on for like 55 minutes or an hour, that lecture, and I'll put a link below. You can go check the whole thing out. It's quite revealing, folks, what they can actually do and the way they can control people and possess people. And, of course, all they needed to do was put something in their body. He even said then, vaccines, injections, you can inject it into someone's body. So what have the jabs really done? You know, what's 5G all about? 5G, the millimeter wave, is really advanced communication. It's really a weapons system, but it's also advanced communication. It gives you the ability to move really fast in real time, have millions and millions of people under surveillance at the same time, and not really be taking up too much bandwidth in doing so, and to be able to directly target individuals. Like when you've got a cell phone and you get a call on the 5G network, it comes from the tower directly to your phone. It's not an ambient wave that anyone else can pick up on. It comes directly to you. So you got to wonder, you know, with 5G, the nanotech, all the stuff that they put in people. And like when you saw that little clip that I had, then it shows you like what they're portraying as coronavirus also looks very similar to what they're portraying as this little particle that they put in people so they can control them. And this is all science fact, folks. It isn't science fiction. And it's just something to consider. I mean, you see those sort of talks like Charles Morgan was doing there, and people just go, oh, yeah, that's really interesting. But then it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. They hear the talk, they see it happening, and then when they see something on the street going on and you try to tell them this could be the reason for it, they go, oh, no, no, you're a conspiracy theorist. It's remarkable. It's like the cloud seeding and weather control. Oh, no, they can't do that. And then when you see them do it, they go, oh, well, I guess they can. And then you forget about it again. It's really weird. I mean, maybe it's the fluoride. I don't know. But people have got this attention span, which lasts about 5 or 10 seconds. Of course, we've talked about that before. I mean, this has been intentional as well. But it's remarkable that people can't see it. I mean, just recently, they were cloud seeding in Dubai, and suddenly Dubai is just flooded underwater. They've had a year's worth of rain in one day. But of course, they'll say, oh no, we can't control the weather. And yet they'll show you that they can. It's the same thing, folks. They can control human beings. They can drive human beings. The human drone experiments have all paid off. They're all working. And this is a reality. And that was in 2018. So what can they do now? And again, you know, it all leads to more legislation for the government. It all leads to more control. It all leads further down the path of transhumanism. And even saying the cop who killed the guy is a hero. She shot him. Why didn't she tase him and bring him to the ground so he could question this guy and find out what the motive was and what it was all about? But no, they don't do that. They shoot them. Always shoot them, because if the guy is under any type of mind control, well, he might mention that if they were to interview him. Of course, they'd say he's a conspiracy theorist and he's mad and they'll put him in the grin bin the way they did with Martin Bryant. And you're not even ever allowed to see them or talk to them again. I mean, Martin Bryant, who they claim carried out the Port Arthur massacre, who it isn't possible that he did, he's been in like solitary confinement ever since that happened. That was in the 90s. He spent the last like 30 years in solitary confinement, just talking to the guards and blah, blah, blah. Pretty bad. And he didn't commit the crime. This is a kid with a, you know, an IQ of a 9-year-old and the perfect patsy. And this Joel Cauchy, the way he was stumbling, the way he had a record of mental illness, I mean, you got to wonder if this guy isn't the perfect patsy as well. You know, it's pretty crazy, folks. Pretty crazy what's going on. And all of these killings in one week in Sydney, all these stabbings, it's pretty crazy. Soon you won't be able to buy machetes. You won't be able to buy cane knives. They'll probably end up saying we're only allowed to have plastic knives at home. Who knows where they're going with it, folks? And it's all going to lead down the same path, all about control. Soon you'll just be living in pods.
After purchasing a tiny apartment in New York with dimensions barely larger than a coffin, couldn't even fit a coffin inside, and had to tiptoe around. Desperate, he decided on a daring renovation. He installed a bay window crafted from galvanized square pipes, which can be pushed and pulled out, providing a comfortable bed and even accommodating his girlfriend when she visits. When not in use, it takes up minimal space. In the corner, a wardrobe stores everyday clothes below. Several wooden boards serve as a desk, with drawers underneath to store clothing items. A customized cushioned seat completes workspace, doubling as a bulletproof barrier when folded up. Remembering to install sockets and switches near the bed. Next, a hidden water tank is embedded in the adjacent wall, with a wall-mounted toilet providing a luxurious experience. Finally, a countertop houses an induction cooker, catering to daily meals. A mirror cabinet is installed above. The compartments in the mirror cabinet can hold spice jars and toiletries. Additionally, a projection screen is mounted on the ceiling. At the end, look at this functional bedroom.
Yeah, won't that be fun? It would be wonderful having a toilet right under your stove. Yeah, beautiful stuff. You know, I've seen prison cells that have got better facilities than that. And that's the sort of stuff that they want you in. And of course, you'll be able to have your drone arrive every day and 3D print your clothes for the day as well. You know, you can throw them away at the end of the day. You have to pay for everything. That's another reason why they want to get rid of cash. And they're really working on this in Australia, folks, getting rid of cash. You know, because when you use card payments, you've got to pay a fee on every transaction that you do. The bank gets a fee. Remember, you used to put money in the bank and then you get interest on the fact that they're holding your money for you, because they'd invest that money and they'd make money from it. And then they'd pay you interest. They pay you dividends on what they had made. Now, you put your money in the bank, they keep it, you never see it again, and then they charge you to use it, charge you to get it out, tell you when you can and cannot get it out. Apparently you can't get out. Like, you've got to even apply and let them know if you want to draw $3,000 out of the bank now.
I can't, wait, I don't understand, what are you talking about?
So, I can either give you a bank draft, or if you're going to get cash, I will need an invoice for the car purchase.
Why? No, I'd like to, the car's payment's for in cash. I can't use a bank draft.
Are you buying from like a private?
Yeah, it's private.
Person?
It's literally from my friend.
From your friend?
Yeah, but he wants it in cash.
Can he give you like anything that you're purchasing from him?
No, I don't. You don't need that. Bro, what is it? I'm only asking for three. What is this? It's my money. I'm allowed to withdraw from my own bank account.
Yeah, so
you said that what's the maximum limit you can give a withdrawal to a customer? It's $3,000 on the date. You've already mentioned that multiple times.
Yeah, not today.
Why not today?
Today I would need a bank draft or would get an invoice.
But why? You need proof of what it is? Why is that? And why is that? Why is that? Why do you need me to tell you what it is? What kind of proof is that? I bring in a note? Like, how is that? What is that going to change? I don't understand.
So that would
you need to give my money. I'm not taking a bank job. I would like cash, please.
Yeah, I won't be able to give you cash.
Yeah, wait. I'm just going to sit here until you give me cash, so I'm not going to leave.
Okay. Well, if you want, you can have a sit there.
And then do what? Who am I waiting for?
I can get the manager to talk to you.
Well, yeah, get the manager, because this is it's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous. And I've shut down like 40% of the ATMs. Or 60% of ATMs in Australia, there's only 40% left. People are still trying to draw out as much cash as they can, but because they've closed down so many ATMs, Now the cash delivery company, who's called Armaguard in Australia, drives these big armoured vehicles around and drops cash off at all the banks, fills all the ATMs. Well, the banks are removing all the ATMs, so Armaguard doesn't really have enough ATMs to go and deliver cash to. So Armaguard is in the point of insolvency and going bankrupt and having to shut down. This is the armored car company that delivers cash, okay? They're removing all the cash machines, so there's no work for the armored car company. So they're going to close down, and then the banks will say, well, the armored car company closed down and they can't deliver cash anymore, so we can't supply you with cash. It's all contrived, folks. The whole thing's contrived. And if they manage to do this, if they manage to turn it over to a completely digital system, digital cash and digital ID, then they will be able to shut you out at every opportunity and all be done by AI. And even the police force is moving towards AI, folks. The cops that are supporting all this shit, I mean, you guys have got no idea what you're leading the world into, and you're leading yourself into as well. Because pretty soon, the actual police are going to be redundant. You'll have robots in driverless cars that'll be acting according to surveillance cameras, telling them when there's a crime being committed. They'll just roll up and they'll just do whatever. And these companies like Boston Electronics and stuff, or Boston Robotics, are producing robots, like mass producing robots in record amounts, folks. So we're heading for a pretty wild future. Imagine having one of these come and confront you on the street. Yeah, that would be kind of freaky, wouldn't it? You know, with police all over it and, you know, dressed in the right way or painted in the right way. What do you do against something like that? And they've got those little dogs there as well. But this is where we're headed for. And all of the police, I mean, pretty soon you guys are going to be redundant. You're going to be out of work and these robots are going to be doing your job. It'll be like Elysium. Ever seen that film Elysium with I think it was Matt Damon or something like that, and these robot police they had. And then when you went to complain and you went to your rehab center or whatever, you got a little robot counter attendant as well. So this is where they're headed, folks. It's a pretty crazy future. And, you know, we've just been led into it. And the cops are the ones who are leading us into it. I mean, you guys have got no idea what you're doing. I guess that's why they lowered the IQ on the induction for police. So that, you know, they don't want anyone too smart. They just want people to follow orders and not really be able to see the bigger picture. But it's a pretty freaky future we're heading into, folks. Another thing that's pretty freaky about the future is what's happening with the WHO and the WEF. The treaty to sign us all up to the World Health Organization guidelines is going through, I think, in late May or mid-June. So I posted a video on my channel the other day, which has actually been overdubbed. It's a video that was originally in German, and they've overdubbed 36 different languages. So you can go to the website, you can get it in whatever language you want, and you can share it with people so they know what's going on. I think they've used AI to overdub it, you know. People were complaining about that. Oh, my God, they've used AI to put it. Who cares? I mean, it's in 36 languages. I mean, perhaps they didn't have someone who speaks Swahili handy, so they had to use the computer to do it. But it's great that they have. It's a very, very informative video, and it shows what's going on. I mean, this is essentially a coup that has been waged by the WHO and the World Economic Forum, getting all of our governments to sign their sovereignty over to this unvoted corporate entity. You didn't vote for it. I didn't vote for it. We didn't even know who's in this entity, who these people are. They're just putting forth their vaccine guidelines and saying we all need to comply, and our governments are signing all of our rights over to the WHO. And that's going to happen in late May or in early June if we don't make a lot of noise about it. This is treason, folks. This is a coup of 194 countries that are all going to be put under the control of the WHO. And you'll need vaccines to travel. You need vaccines to do just about anything. You'll need vaccines soon in order to access your bank account. You know, if you can't provide them with vaccine status, you haven't got a digital ID, and all the little boxes aren't checked on that digital ID, then they will lock you out of everything. That's what this whole digital surveillance grid is all about. Pretty freaky stuff, folks. And any government that signs on to this WHO treaty has committed treason against their nation. This is an attack against your nation. This is a coup under the guise of protecting your health. And, of course, they're going to bring climate change into it as well. They already have. I mean, they brought in laws recently the other day saying that, you know, a clean environment is a human right. And so now they can charge, you can charge anybody, any Betsy next door who's got a chip on her shoulder and wants to exercise the authority she thinks she has, can now charge her government with terrorism or charge her government with an abuse of human rights if they're not following the WEF and the WHO's climate change agenda. So they're merging it all into the one thing. And all the COVID restrictions and all the stuff that they got away with over the last 4 years, like I said, it's been putting the framework in place so they can do this. And of course, they're controlling it all and they're monitoring everybody in real time through the 5G network, the millimeter wave, and moving this into 6G, which is the sixth generation of communication, which is what I was talking about like 2 years ago when I said the intrabody nano network, the Internet of Things, the Internet of Bodies, making sure everybody is hooked up online, the hive mind. Even like what they were talking about in the that opening clip, when they're talking about the hive. Well, that's that hive. They want us connected to a hive mind as well. It's what Elon Musk and his neural mesh and all this stuff is about. Pretty freaky stuff, folks. So we're heading for a really, really crazy future, folks. We really are. And they're doing everything they can to distract us from that. War in Ukraine, Gaza, everything that's going on there. Of course, some of the big news at the moment is the fact that Iran sent a missile barrage to Israel in response to Israel attacking their embassy in Damascus and killing some very important people in that embassy. It's interesting the way the media is playing it, of course, saying Iran attacks Israel and Israel is going to respond. No, Israel attacked Iran by bombing the embassy in Damascus and Iran responded. And their response was actually very calculated and very light. They sent 200 missiles into Israel. And these were just low-level missiles. A lot of them actually didn't even have warheads. They just sent them in there to test Israel's defense system. Israel, of course, is claiming a major victory. Major victory. We shot down 99% of these missiles. Only a couple of them hit their targets. And if you believe that, I mean, I think that that claim is kind of right up there with the 40 beheaded babies on October 7th claim, which was shown to be complete and utter rubbish. I think Israel was totally caught off guard and they totally failed in this response because Iran is just testing the waters. I mean, Iran could have sent a lot more missiles. It could have sent heavy-duty ballistic missiles and taken out Tel Aviv. It could have taken out most of Israel if it had wanted to. But it just sent 200 sort of low-level rockets, some ballistic missiles. But like I said, most of them didn't even have warheads, and they were just testing the waters. And of course, next to Israel is Lebanon and Hezbollah, who could actually send probably 2,500 missiles a day into Israel and do that for months if they wanted. So, I mean, the only reason they don't is because Israel has the backing of the United States. The only reason Israel's been able to carry out this genocide in Gaza is because Israel has the backing of the United States, even though the United States is trying to pretend it's a humanitarian organization and it's building the pier on the bodies of dead Palestinians, and out of dead Palestinians they're scooping up in the rubble and building this pier so they can bring humanitarian aid in. You know, interesting as well, isn't it interesting that within a day they could bring in bulldozers so they can scoop up rubble and build this pier, but during the whole crisis they couldn't bring in any bulldozers to actually dig up the buildings to rescue the Palestinians who were trapped in the collapsed buildings and trapped in the rubble. They couldn't do that, and yet within a day they could bring in bulldozers to build their pier. Funny how that works, isn't it? But they're humanitarian, of course. But yeah, this whole situation, I mean, Israel has been prodding the fire, poking Iran for a long time, trying to get a response from Iran. And then they bombed their embassy in Damascus. Israel claims anybody who works against its terrorist activities, I mean, Israel is a terrorist state. It's been threatening Syria, it's been threatening Lebanon, it's been threatening Yemen, it's been just doing bad stuff, totaling Africa. I mean, I went through that report in the last video that I put out, that woman from Ghana who shows you all of the different countries in Africa that they've completely messed up. Whenever anybody pushes back against this type of terror activity from Israel, they claim they are Iranian proxies who are attacking Israel. It's crazy. I mean, some of the stuff they say. They say the Houthis in Yemen are Iranian proxies. They say the Hezbollah in Lebanon are Iranian proxies. They say the people in Syria are Iranian proxies. It's all Iran. Iran's doing all these terrible things, but it doesn't want to do it itself, so it uses its proxies. No, it's all backwards. I mean, the United States is Israel's proxy army, and they've been using the United States to take out all their enemies for a long time. They planned it that way. That's what 9/11 was all about. And if you're out there and you haven't figured out yet that Israel carried out the 9/11 attacks in New York, the Twin Towers, or I don't know, you're a little bit behind the times, but Israel definitely carried out those attacks in order to get the United States mobilized to attack the Arab world, take out Afghanistan, take out all these different countries for Israel, because that's what Israel wants to do. And Israel has now apparently responded and has bombed Iran, sent some missiles into Iran in response to the Iranian attack against Israel, which, like I said, it wasn't an attack. It was a response to an Israeli attack on the Iranian embassy in Damascus.
What do we know at this stage?
Well, it's still really the first hour here of these reports coming in. We have, as you mentioned, two U.S. officials confirming that Israel launched a missile strike on western Iran. We have seen multiple unverified reports of explosions taking place around the region. There's some thought that these may be drones as well getting hit. We just don't know that much. Isfahan, as you mentioned, is the site where there was a report of an explosion. That is also a city known for having a number of military bases and facilities. It's believed to be one of the places that Iran launched its April 13th attack on Israel from. So it would seem to be a natural target. But in terms of what has actually been hit, whether there are any casualties, those details have really not come in yet. We're just trying to find out the scope of what appears to be taking place, possibly still taking place as we speak.
And you know, Israel's claim that all these Houthis and Hezbollah and all these people are Iranian proxies, there's absolutely no proof of any of this. It's just the way Israel plays things. The whole Israeli thing is based on deception. You know, I mean, it would be good if the world did just get rid of Israel. It would be great if it was just gone. But of course, they're all moving to Ukraine anyway, which is probably what a lot of all this stuff is about. And, you know, we've talked about this before as well. But Israel is a rogue terrorist state, folks. It's doing terrible things to the world. And it's really trying to escalate this conflict so it can just take over Gaza and take over all that land there, turn it into its own real estate. And people won't notice. They'll be too distracted by the world war that's happening on with Iran and all this sort of stuff. And even Benjamin Netanyahu now is saying that they're going to go in and build settlements all through Gaza. And yet, in the same token, he's saying this isn't genocide. You know, genocide takes many forms. It isn't just killing people. It's also destroying culture, stealing land, building settlements on occupied land, all the stuff that Israel does. It's a genocidal state, and that should be clear to anybody. And as I've said before, it has absolutely nothing to do with the Israelites or the Jews of the Bible. The people in Israel now have nothing to do with those people. There's actually a report that came out by the John Hopkins Institute the other day as well, which showed that the Israelis who are currently in Israel done genetic and DNA tests on them, and they have absolutely no relation to the ancient Hebrews of the Bible. The Palestinians actually have a connection, a DNA connection to the old Hebrews of the Bible. So, you know, everything is backwards, folks. That's the way Israel works. But they're really trying to escalate things. But like I said, I mean, that attack that Iran just launched on Israel, or the response with those missiles, that was nothing. That was just a little token effort to test the waters, to see what Israel's capable of. And, of course, now you've got Russia telling America, do not respond to what Iran has done, because we're going to stand by Iran, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, this really could escalate into something huge. But, of course, that's the plan. That's the plan, because they all work together. I'm a donkey out here, folks. I'll see if I can show you through the window. This is a great place that I'm staying. And there's this cute little donkey out here. Nice little guy. And whether you can see him there by the fence. He's very friendly when you go out there. He makes a lot of noise and squeaks and hee-haws and comes over and checks you out. He's cool. Yeah, it's a really cool place that I'm staying in, folks. Really nice people. And as I said, the talks have been great in Croatia. I've got a whole bunch more coming up. I was supposed to speak in Zadar today, but apparently that's been cancelled. I'm a little too risque, I think, for the new library owner in Zadar. And so that talk has been put off until next month. But next week, I'm going to Zagreb to speak in Zagreb, which is the capital of Croatia. And Rick Simpson lives in Zagreb, and I'm actually going there to spend 3 or 4 days in Zagreb. So I'm going to catch up with Rick and possibly even do a video with him. That would be great. It'd be really good to see him. Looking forward to that. And then I'll do the talk in Zagreb as well. All of these talks are being recorded as well, folks. So, and they're all kind of different. I mean, I'm just kind of doing it all off the top of my head, and you sort of go in there and start talking and it comes out the way it comes out. But I haven't got anything planned for any of the talks. I haven't got any presentations or slideshow or anything like that. I figure most of the people who come to these talks are familiar with my work. They don't need a presentation. They're all awake anyway. I'm just trying to provide some inspiration and encouragement to them and just talk about whatever's going on at the time. So the talk that I did in Šibenik was very different to the talk that I did in Split. There were overlaps, of course. So the people that are sort of running this whole tour, I think they're recording all of the talks, and they're going to go through and get rid of the overlaps and just do little sections of each one. And there's like 8 or 10 talks that I'm doing here. So they're going to do little sections of each one, and where it's overlapping, they'll just kind of leave that out so you don't get the information twice. And they'll end up compiling probably maybe a 3 or 4 hour video, which will do the entire Croatian tour in one video, which will be, as I said, probably quite a long video. But you can expect that to come out or be released or to be done sometime in, I don't know, maybe June or July or something like that. I'm here till the end of May. And so, yeah, they're going to record all of the talks along the way. So you'll get to see what it's all about. You'll get to see a little bit of the country and stuff as well. So, yeah, we haven't forgotten you folks. And sorry I haven't been doing too many videos. I've been a little uninspired lately. Like, you know, with the state of the world going the way it's going, I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm just sort of coming here to, you know, narrate the collapse of the world, you know, narrate the fall of society, you know. I mean, there's been so many of us have put information out for so many years trying to get people motivated and get people to act and get people to see what's coming and actually do something to stop it. And it hasn't been really a lot of response to that. I mean, a lot of people can see what's going on, but they've done nothing to stop it. And people say, well, what can we do to stop it? Well, you build community amongst each other. You get to know your neighbours. You become friends with people. You spread information, and you all stand up together and say no. It's really that simple. People just can't see the forest for the trees. I mean, non-compliance would stop this whole thing. That's one of the good things about Croatia, actually, is that there's a small enough population in Croatia to maybe achieve something like that. I mean, there's like less than 4 million people. There's 3.9 million people or something in Croatia. There's 26 million people in Mexico City, you know. So in Croatia, the people could actually stand up and do something. And all the police can't be so brutal in Croatia either, because it's a small population. Everybody knows the police. They're all community members. People know them. They know where they live. So they can't really be that brutal with people. And you have a real opportunity for freedom in a lot of these European countries, these small, sparsely populated countries, because they can see what's going on. And, you know, and if the government signs over to this WHO treaty, like I said, this is treason. You know, if you don't want to go down this path of dystopia and this path of transhumanism, well, you've got to get involved and you've got to refuse to comply. It's like what they're doing in Australia. I mean, they're drawing out billions in cash now, Australians, to try to show that, yes, we do use cash and we do want cash and we want it all to stay there. Whether the government's going to allow them to or not is another question. But people need to continue to do this sort of stuff and refuse to use credit cards and refuse to shop with credit cards and hold the government to account for what they're doing. You know, that's the problem, is that it's very difficult to hold the government to account because you never get to actually face the government. They only ever come out and talk to selected reporters. You know, and if the government charges you with something, charges you with some crime or whatever, and the police come and, you know, enforce it, and then you go to court and you say, well, I'd like to see my accuser, who is some politician somewhere. And of course, you don't have the right to see your accuser. So how do you ever debate these people face to face and get them to answer some questions? You don't, because you're tied up in this whole legal system. So we've got to kind of try to extricate ourselves from this whole thing. I mean, back to common law or whatever, knowing the lingo, knowing the language. But it's difficult for any one person to do, which is why I've been saying for so many years, one of the most positive things you can do is to put common unity back into the community. Get to know your neighbours. I mean, in 2008, I was telling people to do this so that when the crunch comes, you've got a whole community around you. You know all your neighbours. You all support each other. You all know what's going on. You're all informed and you can all stand up together. Unfortunately, people didn't do that. I mean, people are kind of, you know, they don't have a lot of, I don't know, they're distracted or whatever. They just don't have a lot of focus on this sort of stuff. They get too caught up in society, the trappings of society, and just working and trying to stay alive. So, but that's what I said a long time ago was going to be one of the solutions. And only the solution is so simple that the people just can't see the forest for the trees, unfortunately. But that's what I'm trying to do here in Croatia, just encourage people and inspire people. That's all I've ever really tried to do with the videos as well, and all these walk and talks and all this stuff that I've done. But I am enjoying the Croatian tour. There's quite a few dates left to do. And I do intend to do some walk and talks in some more exotic places and sitting in the cabin here and just walking around in the fig trees as well. So you'll get to see some of them. But like I said, I was going to do it outside today. But it was just too cold. It was too windy. I'm not used to the cold and the wind, folks, being in Mexico for 2.5 years. And I'll be back there soon anyway. Chemtrails. Still a lot of chemtrails here, and the chemtrails are playing a significant role in what's going on, folks, in the control grid. I think the chemtrails are a multi-platform delivery system. So even those of us who haven't had the jab are getting certain chemicals and nanotechnology into our bodies, and this is affecting people as well. There's another spinner the other day as well. You know, the spinning from the jab. People are still doing this, folks. It's still happening. Yeah, it's interesting how they all look like they can see something. And again, I question whether these people are being led into the mainframe, whether this is like a soul capture. What's going on with a lot of these people, folks? Really, really weird stuff. But with the chemtrails, something that's been noticed by someone is that if you look at Flight Tracker, you can go on Flight Tracker, you can see a plane going overhead, you can go on Flight Tracker and find out what that plane is, where it's going, blah, blah, blah. You see lots of really weird stuff as well, where you see planes doing grid patterns over certain areas. People wonder whether this is chemtrailing. It could just be mapping, could be all sorts of reasons for it. But someone has been looking at the chemtrail planes, and when they see a chemtrail going overhead, they go onto Flight Tracker to see what the plane is, and there's no plane overhead on Flight Tracker. They're finding that planes that aren't releasing chemtrails are visible on Flight Tracker, but planes that are releasing chemtrails are not visible on Flight Tracker, which would indicate that they are either military planes without transponders switched on, or possibly their drones. I mean, I've often wondered whether a lot of this stuff is done by drones. Sometimes I see chemtrails in the sky and I can't see any plane that's laying the chemtrail. I can just see the chemtrail. And we know the government has hundreds of drones that are flying around all the time. I mean, is that what is spraying this stuff? And as I pointed out in one of my films, I think, like maybe even in Transformation back in 2012, the planes, the tanks on the planes are filled with self-replicating nanoparticles. The drones themselves have solar panels on the wings. So they fly in the daytime, and while they're flying, they're charging themselves up so they can continue flying at night through the solar power that they've generated. And they have self-replicating nanoparticles in the tanks. So they don't ever have to come down. The only time they need to come down from the sky is when they want to change the payload, put something else in the tank, some other type of self-replicating nanoparticles. If you've got a tank of self-replicating nanoparticles, well, it's just going to keep replenishing itself, isn't it? So it's interesting how all this works, folks, and that could be what is spraying the skies. But I find it interesting that this guy has sent me this report saying that most of the chemtrail lines, you cannot find transponder numbers for these planes, and they're not on Flight Tracker. So if you're someone out there who checks out chemtrails and is investigating this sort of stuff and looks up in the sky and sees them and wants to know who's doing it, I would suggest trying that. I mean, I'd like to hear what people have to say about it. You know, if you see a chemtrail plane ahead and you know what your coordinates are, I mean, you've probably got a GPS on your phone or whatever, you find out what your coordinates are, find out what aircraft is flying over those coordinates at that time and see if you can find it on Flight Tracker or anything like that. It will be interesting to see if this can be confirmed. So, yeah, I mean, we're under attack from so many directions, folks. It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Something else that I wanted to mention as well, like with the control grid, I mean, this control grid is so expansive. I mean, it takes on so many different levels and it happens in so many different ways. When you think of the nanotech that's being put in us and the street lights, the WHO, the WEF, all the stuff that's going on, an interesting thing that I've spoken about before is Li-Fi, the fact that LED lights are actually a form of internet. This is something that I spoke to you about, I think, what, 2 years ago. I was talking about why they want LED lights everywhere, because this is a form of internet. You don't even need 5G to have home internet. You don't need the Wi-Fi that we've got. You don't even need the routers that we've got. You can do it all through LED lights. And it's actually quite safe to do through LED lights, not as much radiation, although the light's really bad. I mean, LED lights are not good lights. They're bad for your eyes because they're very bland. They remove a lot out of the color spectrum and eventually they will make you blind. But LED is a form of Wi-Fi. It's a form of internet. They call it Li-Fi because it's light fidelity. And you can also use these things for monitoring people. Some great experiments have been done when you combine solar panels with Li-Fi, with LED, and put it on a speaker monitor so you can hear what's going on, all sorts of stuff comes out. You can actually track audio signals, you can track radio waves. If you've got a computer on in your house, got an LED screen, you've got LED lights in your house, and you've got solar panels on your house, you've effectively built a surveillance network around your house. All you need is someone to hook a speaker up to it, to that signal. And they can hear exactly what's going on. Check this out.
Did you know you can take a small solar panel and a telephone amplifier like the one I've got here, attach them together, and you can use it as a remote control detector? Not only that, you can hear the oscillations produced by flashlights, because a lot of flashlights are pulsing. I've got another one here. It's got different modes. We'll try it. That's a non-pulsing mode. That one's pulsing for sure. What about this other one here? Okay, but it gets more interesting than that. I'm going to take these two LEDs that I've got wired in this configuration down there. I've got a ground wire and an antenna going to it. I'm going to point it at the solar panel. We hear two radio stations coming in at once. Weird, huh?
Crazy stuff, folks. I mean, that was a very basic experiment, but you can see where this is going. And you think of the technology they've got and what they can do with this and ask yourself, would they do it? Of course they would. Of course they would. It's why they do everything, folks, so they can get more tabs on you with everything that they do. More control, more this, more that. It's remarkable. They're now saying that also with these stabbing attacks in Australia, that they need the ability to be able to take down websites and take down web pages that have misinformation on them. I don't know what that's got to do with the stabbing attack. Perhaps because of the claims that Benjamin Cohen was involved and it wasn't Joel Couchy. Who knows, folks? Who knows what it's about? But suddenly they want the ability to take down web pages and websites. I've already been taken down in so many places, it's ridiculous. I've lost my forums. I've been banned on so many places, like around 10 places I'm banned now. So they don't want people getting any type of empowering message. It's okay if you're out there shaking your fist about the government and being a conspiracy theorist about it, but if you're actually delivering a message that empowers people and offers the solution, which is really for us to grow up and realize that we're under attack, well, yeah, they're going to take you down. That's just the way it goes. So, yeah, all sorts of new legislation has come out, like just in the last week in Australia, which will, of course, morph out and go all around the world, which is what they're trying to do, you know. And it's just going to get crazy from this point on. I mean, if this world war escalates to the point that we think it's going to, and of course they want it to, I mean, that's what it's all about, folks. And they all work together. Don't think Putin's the good guy. Don't think Iran is the good guy. The Iranian government isn't a good government at all. But, you know, they've managed to kind of hold out. But they've been undermined and undermined, you know, with the introduction of the Shah and everything that happened and you know, the Ayatollah and all the way it all went down, which was all contrived. You know, the overthrow of Mossadegh and, you know. You know, back in the 40s and 50s, people actually thought the world functioned the way it appears on the surface. And it wasn't until much later they found out it didn't. And those countries that really did try to stand up against this system and, you know, like viewed the system for what it was on at face value and took it at face value, they all got wiped out. So that's what they did to Iran. That's what they did to Libya with Gaddafi. It's what they did to Afghanistan. It's what they did to Iraq. I mean, it's Syria. It just goes on. And they're continuing to do it. And Iran is the last one they really need to bring down. A lot of the reason they want to bring it down, of course, is that there's no usury in the Muslim world. You know, these countries don't pay interest. You know, people get loans in Iran. You don't pay interest on the loan. Usury is a Jewish invention, and they really want that to happen. So, I mean, that's one of the big things about it. So, like, they portray Muslims as terrorists and rah, rah, rah. Even with these stabbings in Australia, like, there was this guy who goes out, you know, Joel Couchy, apparently, goes out, kills six people and wounds 15 others, and he's just a crazy guy who did some stabbings. And yet there's this other guy, this 16-year-old kid who goes to attack that Assyrian priest, ends up chopping his own fingers off. That was a terror attack because the kid is a Muslim, apparently. So if you're a Muslim, you're a terrorist. If a Muslim throws a knife at someone, it's a terror attack. If just a guy throws a knife at someone, it's just a guy throwing a knife at someone. Crazy how that works. Even the machete and knife fight or the machete and axe fight or whatever that was in the shopping centre. I mean, maybe they'll be identified as migrants. Maybe they're Aboriginals. Maybe they're just suburban kids. Who knows? But I guarantee if you can find out one of them is a Muslim, it'll be classed as a terror attack. They really want you to view Muslims as terrorists. And I think one of the main reasons for that is, as I said, it's a usury-free money system in the Muslim world. Now, the Jewish control of money and usury and having to pay interest on loans is what really holds their whole system together. And it's a complete scam. But it's interesting how the kid gets portrayed as a terrorist simply because he's a Muslim. Funny how that works. So anyway, that's about all I have to say, I think, folks. It's kind of strange just kind of sitting here talking to you, but yeah, it's good as well. I'm sorry it's been so long since I bought your video. It's been kind of been a little bit out of my comfort zone, but in my comfort zone, I mean, just kind of It's weird being in Europe. It's just kind of weird. And like I said, it's been cold and windy and blah, blah, blah. And it's been difficult to get a video done. But I'll try to bring them to you a little bit more regularly. You know, sort of caught up with the talks and all that sort of stuff as well. Though I have had a week off, so I've really got no excuse for not bringing you a video. Just that it's been cold and windy. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. So, yeah. The talks have been great. It's been really good to meet the people that I've met. Apparently meeting someone again for lunch today. I've got a TV appearance to do next week as well in Zagreb. That same show that I was on last time I was here, Beyond Science, which is going to be interesting. And I said, get to meet Rick and carry on with Rick for a little while and hang out for a couple of days. That'd be great. Try to do a video with him. And there's all sorts of stuff happening. There's a movie coming out soon as well. I'm going to leave you the preview of the movie. I'm going to play it at the end of this video. It's called Old World Order. I wasn't actually aware that I was involved in it, but I think I remember getting an email about it a year or two ago and just forgetting all about it. And now apparently it's being released. Hibler Productions, or Hibler Productions, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. And I'll put the clip on at the end here. It's about the old world. It's about Tartare. It's about the fact that our history is a fraud. And it should be interesting. So I'm looking forward to that. Apparently Stu Peters is involved. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I wasn't even aware that I was involved. I mean, I guess I was, but I forgot. So, and I didn't really know who else was going to be involved in it. You know, someone just wrote to me, I think, and said, can I use some of your stuff for a film I'm doing? And of course, I just said yes. So, but it should be interesting. Be interesting to see what he's come up with. And, you know, you've got to look at all point of views, folks. That's the way it is. And also a very sad thing that's taken place in the last week or so is that Lucy has died. You know, Jeff, the dollar vigilante, Jeff Berwick, his walk and talks with Lucy and Jeff. Lucy has now gone to the great taco stand in the sky, which is a very sad thing. I mean, it's something that we knew was coming. She was getting progressively older. She was getting a lot of grey around her eyes, and she's finding it hard to walk. In the last couple of weeks, she's been spending much of her time in bed. But apparently she just died the other day, and it's a very, very sad thing. Lucy was an incredible little dog, folks. Now, I've never really been a Chihuahua fan, but she was the most amazingly friendly, kind, affectionate little dog, the most amazing little dog I've ever met. And I can see why Jeff loved her so much. So my condolences go out to Jeff and his family for the loss of Lucy. Jeff's got a lot of dogs. He's got, what, you know, 14 or 15 dogs. It's ridiculous how many dogs Jeff's got. But that one was a really particularly special little animal. So it's been very sad to see her leave us the way she did. We knew it would happen. So, yeah, my condolences to everybody. And again, folks, you're headed for really crazy times in the next few months. We really are. I mean, you're going to see a major collapse of financial systems around the world. You're going to see the possibility of war breaking out all over the place. Even if it isn't a real war on the ground in your country, it's going to be portrayed to be that way, and they're going to use it to implement the new system they want to bring in, mass surveillance and, of course, taking down websites, disinformation, anybody who is not supporting their war agenda, anyone who's not supporting their climate agenda and working towards net zero, which, of course, is completely ridiculous. I mean, carbon net zero means an end of all organic life on Earth. I mean, they want you eating bugs. They want you eating insects. They basically want everybody gone. This is a major depopulation event that's been played from so many angles. And, you know, it's about removing humans from existence, folks. I mean, even the Jews that are controlling it all, I don't think they realize what it's going to be like when the whole thing is run by AI. Perhaps they do, perhaps they don't. Perhaps they're programming the whole thing and it's simply going to go the way they do it. Perhaps the whole concept of artificial intelligence or virtual life is simply a myth. And it's all going to be programmed robotic attacks against the human race, starvation, depopulation, through wars, through whatever. in destroying as much as they can of the old world and destroying as many humans as they can, and simply doing this whole ridiculous Kabbalistic thing that they want to do, ascend Jacob's ladder, blah, blah, blah. You know, destroy Amalek, all of this sort of stuff. You know, or perhaps all of that is simply a smokescreen, and what it's about is depopulation and terraforming of this world, which is really what seems to be happening, folks. I mean, there's so many trees dying and wildlife dying and people dying and the spraying in the sky and the pollution of the soil. I mean, it's getting to a point that the world is turning into a place that will no longer support life. And it's being done by people's compliance in what their governments are doing. And with the advent of this WHO and WEF treaty that they're due to sign in May and June this year, I mean, this shows exactly what's going on. And as I said, this is a coup. This is a coup against 194 countries on Earth. And if your government signs up to this treaty, they've committed treason against you. They've handed the control of your country over to a foreign corporate power, an unelected corporate power, an unelected group of people that you didn't vote for, you got nothing to do with. You know, and these rulers are supposed to represent the people. Or do they represent you in this action? Do they represent anybody's best interest in their action? They can say they do. Oh, we've done this because of climate change. We've done this because of blah, blah. We're more informed than you. We know what's going on and you need to trust us. Well, why would we ever do that? Look what you just did during COVID. Look what you did from the 9/11 attacks. Look what you've done with the war of terror. Look what you're doing through everything that you're doing and everything that you've done. As I've often said, every problem we have on Earth that exists is legislated to exist. All of our attempts to deal with these problems, we get tied up in red tape, we've got to run down all these avenues and walk between all these lines. All of this has been legislated to exist as well, to prevent us from ever being able to deal with the problems. It's all because we believe this legal system is real, that this legislation is actually law. As I've said many times, there's only one law, do no harm. All of this legislation does harm to people. That's what it's designed to do. So how is it law? You know, we've really got to look at how we're being played here, folks. And if the human race doesn't rise up and deal with this criminal cabal masquerading as governments, then we're doomed. It's as simple as that. There's no easy way to say it, and there's no easy way out of this. People simply have to put down all their stuff with each other and realize what the common enemy is. And the common enemy isn't climate change. It isn't anti-vaxxers. It isn't diseases or viruses. It's the governments. It's the multinational, multi-generational criminal cabal we have masquerading as governments across this world, and the legislation they're putting in place, that's the problem. People's compliance, the fact that people believe they need parents, people who've never grown up, they just comply and do what they're told all the time, even if they're being marched into the lion's den, they just do what they're told. Oh, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. Oh, you're killing me if I walk in this door. Well, okay, I better walk through the door anyway, because if I don't walk through the door, you might hurt me. It's ridiculous, folks. You know, people just won't stand up for themselves. People won't grow up. People won't call this for what it is. They're so distracted by all the theatre. They've got to put all that stuff down and realise how we're being played and what we're heading into. And if they don't, well, again, you're going to have to know how to survive. You're going to have to know how to survive completely outside the system. You're going to have to walk into the forest with a knife and a piece of rope and know how to survive, as I've said so many times. Know how to fish, know how to hunt, know how to build a shelter, know how to live completely outside the system, find a cave somewhere and sit up on a cliff and watch the world decompose around you from a distance. That's the only way you're going to get through. And really, is that what it's all about anyway? Do you really need to get through? Because isn't it all about your spiritual growth? I mean, you came to this world to die anyway. That's what you're going to do. So why would you want to stay here? I mean, the only reason I really want to stay here is because I want to see the end of the movie. I want to see how all this plays out. It would be very interesting. It's an incredibly interesting time to be alive. But I don't have any stake in the outcome of it. I mean, I came here to die. That's a given. I'm going to leave this world one day. And I think the most important part about living is the state that you are in when you exit the realm, whether you're in a state of integrity, whether you complied and gave little pieces of your soul away just to spend a little bit more time in the prison, or whether you stood up and did the right thing, whether you improved the world by your presence in it, whether you showed strength of character and strength of soul through this whole process. I think that's what it's really all about. But I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of what may come. And if the world turns into this dystopia they're creating, well, I don't want to be part of it. I'm not going to participate in that. And if it all crashes and burns and people are left to survive by their wits with just a knife and a rope out in the jungle, I mean, do I really want to do that as well at 66 years old? Do I have the life skills to do that? Probably not. I prefer to just go out with a bang with everything else, I think. You know, but it's about your soul. It's about your integrity. It's about whether you comply with stuff that you know is wrong. And the more people do comply with it, then the worse it's going to get. And the more people fail to choose good over evil, then the more evil it's going to get. This is why we're seeing what we're seeing in Gaza. This is why we're seeing the pop industry turn into this satanic nightmare. People like Sam Smith with devil horns and lingerie and all the stuff that people are doing, all this transgender stuff, all this stuff, because people have been choosing evil, people have been choosing the easy path for the last 50, 60, 100 years. They haven't chosen good. So you're going to get more and more evil, more and more hatred, more and more death, more and more bloodshed, more and more satanic rubbish in the pop industry, all thrown in your face until you choose good. The more you don't do it, well, the more they're going to put it in your face and force you into a position where you have to choose one or the other, because that's really what you came here for. So, yeah, I mean, it's time to pay attention, folks. It really is. But anyway, I'm going to leave it there for now, folks. It's been a pleasure to come and talk to you. I'll be back in Mexico probably early June. I'll be around here for at least another 5 or 6 weeks, and doing talks, and I will let you know where those talks are when they come to be. There will be a talk in Zara that will come about, and that will be next month. I'll let you know when that's going to happen. And thank you to anybody who's ever sent me a kind email. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. Thank you to all the people out there speaking out on the front line. Thank you to all the people who come to the talks. And just thank you for everybody involved in making a difference on this earth. We can do it, folks. I mean, as I've said many times, this is a form of soul purification anyway. And, yeah, we will get through this. It's just going to be an uncomfortable process. But anyway, folks, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I will look forward to speaking to you again soon. I'll try to do one and not leave it a week. It just depends on what's going on in the world and what I'm doing here. But I'll try to get them out to you a little bit more regularly. And please take care until we speak next time. Don't be too afraid of what's going on. Just be aware of what's going on and be aware of what your role in this transition and this change of consciousness is, this soul purification that we're going through. Anyway, folks, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me in Lakesh.
There's a lot of architecture in the world today on every continent of buildings that are much, much larger than you would think people of our height would build.
Cities in America that look as though they were constructed in medieval Europe.
The outside's incredible, but the inside is built like a palace.
I'm not sure if there were even any schools of architecture back then.
How did they know how to do this stuff?
We're at the pinnacle of our civilization now. This is the best it gets. The best we've ever done. Look at the quality of these walls.
Now you'll go through a neighborhood and every home looks the same.
Had we known we're going backwards, everyone would be pissed.
As an architect of 20 years, I like to look at a building as telling its own story. I like to say that stones don't lie.
And they're giving us timelines of like a year. It was built in a year.
The history that we've been told is a lie.
Why would a regular sized human make something so massive?
How did they build that beautiful, beautiful building? Was that building here longer?
I feel like the building was here already.
What was actually in the towers? What kind of technology was up there?
These buildings were built by the prior civilization.
A beautiful, easy, graceful method of travel flushed down the drains.
Nope, no more airships.
And they have to lie to us about it. They had to write the storybooks. We learn about one fire, the Chicago Great Fire.
There were fires in every major city.
Burned to the ground.
It's impossible for any stone building to be burning down.
What's being cut from us is huge.
What a world it must have been.
So there's literally been a cover-up of history more than one way.
Oh, the humanity!